All right, we've been talking about the book of Acts. Anybody getting blessed by talking about the book of Acts? Oh, come on. This has been good. Oh, by the way, they are getting recorded. So if you missed one, you can go online and you can get, we have the first and the second one up there. We have our discussion, Wednesday discussion that we did on 1 Corinthians 12 on the gifts of the Spirit. So we're going to go back. Let's look at, well, we don't have to turn to them. Exodus chapters 19 and 20 is Moses getting ready to go talk to God. And does anybody remember what that mountain was like? It was covered with a cloud. There was thunder and lightning. There was the sound of shofars being blown on the mountaintop. Was it a loud noise? Was it boisterous? It was big. I mean, it's like MGM, you know, dun, 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 and the mountain is covered, and there's loud shofar blast coming down from the set from the mountaintop, and God is talking with Moses in a cloud and sounds like thunder. Remember in John, when Jesus is baptized, it says that God said to him, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." But to everybody else, it sounded like thunder. Okay, same scenario, isn't it? It sounds like thunder, but it's Moses talking to God on the mountain. They're conversing. Voices, right? Voices sounding like thunder. Fire, right? Come on. So then we come over here to the book of Acts. When the day of Pentecost had arrived, they were all together in one place. Suddenly the sound like that of a violent rushing wind from heaven. Come on, same kind of buildup. This great big loud sound is coming out of heaven. What happens to them? It appears that tongues of fire come and set down on each one of them. Instead of on top of the mountain, now the tongues of fire are coming and sitting on each one of them. God is setting up his presence in each one of them. Come on, this is the same day 1,300 some odd years later. It's the day of the feast of Shavuot, 1,300 some odd days later. God shows up on the mountain in Sinai with a loud sound, with fire and communication, talking. He shows up on the day of Pentecost in the upper room. Loud commotion, fire, lots of talking, right? Because they all begin to speak in tongues. As they're speaking in tongues, these people outside, these are religious Jews, it says, who have come from all over the Roman Empire. Because when we know that, because when they list the names of the places they're from, it's not from inside Israel. It's from all the different regions where the religious Jewish people would be coming from. Some of them have traveled. They've had to take weeks off from the farm, weeks off from the blacksmithing, right? This is a huge dent in their life, and they're coming to fulfill a religious obligation. Does God know they're going to be there? Are they all gathered around down below the upper room? Are they all hearing this loud commotion up there? Is it very similar in sound and appearance to what happened on Mount Sinai? They're bewildered in Mount Sinai. They're bewildered. What is this? They're confused. They don't understand what's happening. On the day of Pentecost, these guys are all out here. They're bewildered. What is this? They're not questioning whether it's happening or not. They're confused by what's going on because here they are from all of these different places. Alexandria, Egypt, at the time, had over 1 million Jewish people that were living there. Some of them came and are there. Different places from around the Roman Empire. And they're gathered together outside. They're out in the streets and they hear this commotion that's going on. And they're wondering what's happening. See, it says here, there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. They were there dwelling. They had come for this time, this appointed time. They started accusing them. They said, "Look, aren't these just Galileans? You know, because somebody who lives in Omaha, Nebraska, when they go to New York City, they're going to look a little different, aren't they? You come from New York, everybody's, you know, coming out, you know, for some reason they're all going to go to Omaha. They know the difference between New Yorkers and Nebraskans. There's a difference. Right? Oh, it's your hometown? So these guys are all here, right? They're from different areas. Visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. The one thing that's not mentioned there is Gentiles. It doesn't say anything about Gentiles being there. They're all Jews, whether natural born or proselytes. They're all there because it's a feast time. They're all there because they're doing what they're supposed to do, what God told them to do. Isn't that interesting? They were all astounded and perplexed. What could this be? But some of them sneered and said, oh, they're just full of wine. Right. Like being full of wine is suddenly going to enable you to be able to speak fluently someone else's language. Right? I get drunk, and all of a sudden I can speak Latin. I get drunk, now all of a sudden I can speak Greek. No! They're just ridiculing. They don't understand what's going on. Do you understand how ridiculous that statement is? They're drunk. So now obviously, because obviously they're drunk, now they can speak another language. I mean, if that's the cure, let's all just get drunk and move to other countries, and we can be gospel witnesses automatically learning how to speak the language, right? Peter, who good old Peter, he's like, oh, Lord, whatever you tell me to do, I'm going to do it. No, I don't know him. Oh, nope, never heard of him. I don't know, I've never heard of that Jesus. Now, all of a sudden, he gets the Holy Ghost, and he's a bold man, and he's about to preach. Come on, let's look. I want to look over here in my notes, because I could just preach this. But there's some good stuff here. Okay, let's look at Numbers 11, 24 through 30. You're going to take us to the Old Testament. You're going to drag us through the book of Numbers. That's what Pastor used to say to read if you can't sleep at night. I love Leviticus. Oh, especially, oh, there's some good stuff in Leviticus. Deuteronomy gets a little tedious. Numbers chapter 11, I'm sorry. Numbers chapter 11. We're going to start in verse 24. Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord. He brought 70 men from the elders of the people and had them stand around the tent. So he's got 70 people standing around the tent of meeting. Then the Lord descended in the cloud and spoke to him. Look at this. He took some of the spirit that was on Moses and placed it on the 70 elders. As the spirit rested on them, they prophesied. They prophesied, but they never did it again. Two men had remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other Medad, not to be confused with my dad. The spirit rested on them. They were among those listed, but had not gone out to the tent, and they prophesied in the camp. A young man ran and reported to Moses that Eldad and Medad, I'm sorry, you can't make these names up, Eldad and Medad, are prophesying in the camp. I'm sure there's significance to those names. I didn't have time today to look it up. Verse 28, Joshua, son of Nun, assistant to Moses since his youth, responded, Moses, my Lord, stop them. Right? Stop those people from prophesying. But Moses asked him, are you jealous on my account? Come on. Moses had been the only one prophesying up until now. Now these other guys are prophesying. Joshua is taking offense on Moses' behalf. Is that ridiculous, to take offense for someone else? Well, I'm offended for that person because if somebody said something about them. Oh, I'm just offended by that. Are you jealous on my account? If only all the Lord's people were prophets and the Lord would place his spirit on them. Then Moses returned to camp along with the elders of Israel. Moses has a bigger picture here. He says, oh no, you want them to stop prophesying? I wish that all of God's people could prophesy. Who else said that? Paul did. Paul did in 1 Corinthians 14. He said, I wish that you could all prophesy. I wish that you would all prophesy. I wish that you all spoke in tongues as much as I did. Here's the same kind of spirit there. Can I add to this? Moses is God's emissary. God sent one to bring the word of God to God's people and to get them on the path that God has for them. Right? So God takes the spirit that he's put on Moses, okay, and they prophesy. In Acts, do you know where I'm going yet? In Acts chapter 2, Jesus takes of his spirit as the emissary and puts it on his people. He puts it on his followers. He takes of his spirit and gives to us of his spirit. The same way, now see, they all start to speak in tongues. They all start to speak in tongues. Let me put this down for a second. Okay, let's go back to Acts. But Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and proclaimed to them, men of Judah and all you residents of Jerusalem, let me explain this to you and pay attention. We spent a couple weeks talking about paying attention on Sundays. Paying attention. Pay attention to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you ridicule or as you suppose, since it's only 9 in the morning. There's not time to get drunk by 9 in the morning. That's a ridiculous statement. Right? I mean, at 9 o'clock in the morning, I've dropped the kids off and I've gone back home and I'm having my second cup of coffee. Unless I've got someplace I have to be. There's certainly no plan. You know, Kathy will get up in the morning and she makes breakfast. She says, what do you want to have for dinner? I'm like, I don't even know what I want for breakfast yet. You know what I'm saying? There's no time. There was no time for that. You know, so Peter's kind of making fun of the idea that they would even interject that these people are drunk. On the contrary, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. And it will be in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all humanity. Then your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Does that sound like the kind of thing that Moses wished would happen? It does, doesn't it? Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. I'm still seeing visions. So you can dream dreams. Hey, Jim is young too, because he's having visions. So he's a young man. So now we know that Jim is a reference for young men. Because he's having visions, right, Jim? Come on, he's a young man. I will even pour out my spirit on my male and female slaves in those days, and they will prophesy. I will display wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and a cloud of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon to blood before the great and remarkable day of the Lord comes. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. In the original, and this is frosting for your cake. In the original in Joel, where it says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, it's actually Yod-Heh-Vod-Heh, the proper name of God, Yahweh. You know, you see the YHWH or WH? It's Yod-Heh-Vod-Heh. It's his proper name. Here, they have put in the word Adonai instead, and they're saying Lord. So there's a reference here, a distinction. What is the distinction? Joel is saying, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Peter's saying, whoever calls on the name of Jesus will be saved. I can put this to you. You can look at this one of two ways. You can either directly say Jesus is God, or you can say Yahweh is the sole source of salvation, and Jesus is the only agent of salvation. You can look at that both ways. Either ways, that's a good way to look at it. Because when you read something and they're referencing the Old Testament scripture, it's good to go back and see, read what is being referenced there. Because a large percentage of the New Testament writings are quotations from the Old Testament. If we don't go back and look at those quotations and see what they say and read them in context, then we lose some of the meaning behind what's happening. It's important for us to keep always in purpose on and to purpose always to keep Scripture in context. Okay, there we are. The Father, what we're hearing now in this is that God the Father has not been replaced by Jesus, the cooler God. You know, because anybody ever read the Old Testament and you think, wow, God's really harsh. And then you read the New Testament and you get this idea that Jesus is different than God in the Old Testament because Jesus is always full of grace and mercy. But God is full of judgment. Do you know that one of the reasons that Jesus sent the Holy Spirit is to judge? John chapter 16, to judge. That's one of the reasons. Can I say, yeah, can I say that judgment is good if you're good? If you're doing what's right? You could be judged righteous. Abraham was judged righteous because he obeyed God and followed after what God said to do. He was judged righteous. He was found faithful. See, judgment is like a sword, and we've said this before, a double-edged sword. On one side, it cuts away what's wrong, and on the other side, it preserves what's good. Judgment, everybody here, I'm assuming, has before Jesus declared, you are my Lord and I'm following after you because you have forgiven me of my sin, right? So on that great and terrible day of judgment, where are you going to be? You're going to be already judged. Who's going to be standing before him? Those who refuse to take that. There's a good side and a bad side. We can look at, you know, okay, Josiah and Faith are starting their orthodontic adventure. And Josiah doesn't know this yet, but he's getting this thing called a protracting mask. And it's a wire that goes from here to here and is going to be attached to brackets in his mouth that is supposed to push his jaw. Allows the uppers to grow, but keeps the bottom jaw from growing out further. Because right now, he's. You know, anybody see that picture of the scary fish that has the really bad underbite? You know, it's like, you know, and it's just like, oh, you're a weird-looking fish. Josiah's teeth had been judged and found lacking. Seriously lacking. When he's done, he will be judged a success, and his teeth will line up properly. That judgment will be good, right? When we come to God, we're saying when we come to him, I'm not worthy. There's no way I can be good enough. And he takes our not good enough and he turns it into his success. 1 Corinthians 5:21, he who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. In Christ, we took that judgment of sin, and we're on the right side of history for that. We're on the right side of God for that. Because of that, we get to sit at the right hand of majesty on high with him. See, there, and I've heard this, and I've seen this, and I've experienced this even in myself, because there seems to be this disconnect between God of the Old Testament and Jesus and God of the New Testament. Almost as though Jesus has somehow replaced God. In fact, we talked about this our first week. Mercion, who was one of the first guys, he says, we're gonna take scriptures and letters and we're going to make a Bible. And we're going to use the Gospel of Luke. We're going to edit it some because I really don't like some of the things he says in it. And we're going to leave out the book of Acts because that gives us a different picture than what we want. And we're going to use all of Paul's letters with Luke's gospel edited version. And we're going to create our own Bible. And in doing that, Mercion is taking, and this is still a prevalent idea, he's taking this idea that Jesus is the new God that has replaced the old God in the Old Testament. Because the old God in the Old Testament is distant. He's uninvolved. But Jesus is personal, and he has grace for everything. Right? That's where we get a lot of these ideas, even in replacement theology. If Jesus has replaced the God of the Old Testament, and we're followers of Jesus, then God has replaced Israel. And that's where you get anti-Semitism from. God is done with them. And they, you know, why do they even be allowed to have just that little tiny dot of land on the map? Because it's such a thorn in everybody else's flesh. Right? Oh. Peter, who had denied, so that's your little bit of frosting there on your cake. I cover that okay? Clarified? Okay. That was just interesting because the reason I bring that up is because if you go back and you actually read Joel, and I have Interlinear Bible on my phone and my iPad, and because it's just easy and I can change the font size, and as you get older, changing font size is important. Because they make everything so small, not because I have trouble seeing. I want to clarify that, not because I have trouble seeing. But, you know, it's easy, and I can bounce back and forth. And so I'm reading it because, you know, you go back and you read it in the interlinear, and Hebrew is, instead of being from left to right, it's right to left. And so you're reading these things in context, and you look, well, that's different than how it says there. And then, you know, the word for God is Yahweh, and the word that Peter uses is different. Well, why? So that's why you got that little bit of extra frosting, because Pastor likes to do word studies. Okay. All right, so we were at, come on. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Verse 22, men of Israel, listen to these words. This Jesus, the Nazarene, was a man pointed out to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs that God did among you through him, just as you yourselves know. They would have been, even if they're visiting from out of town, and we're talking about people who have come for the Feast of Shavuot, and we're talking about people who actually live there, all of you have heard and seen about this man Jesus and the miracles and the signs that he did. Though he was delivered up according to God's determined plan and foreknowledge, you used lawless people to nail him to a cross. When you've got Jewish people talking about lawless, are they talking about the Constitution? No. No. They didn't have the Constitution. That didn't come around till the 1700s. They're talking about Roman law? No, they're going to be talking about Torah. They're talking about the books of the law that were given by God through Moses, the mediator, through Moses, the emissary. There is no other book of the law for Jewish people. It's like Muslim people. They have Sharia law. They want to impose Sharia law everywhere they go, right? Because they feel that Sharia law is better than anybody else's law. Kudos, by the way, to Saudi Arabia, to King Salman, for giving women the right to drive. So he's talking about someone who's without the Torah. Who did they deliver him up to? Romans. Are Romans under Torah? Do they have to obey the biblical law? No. So what can the Romans do? They can do what the Jews couldn't do. The Jews had an illegal priesthood. They had an illegal kingship. Everything they were doing was illegal, and they couldn't take a person who had no charges against them according to Torah. They couldn't have him killed under their law. They couldn't do it. So what did they do? They went to the Romans, who are without Torah. and said, "This man claims to be God. He claims to be above Caesar. He claims to be the new king who's going to take over. And he has blasphemed our God in all that he has done. You have to put him to death." Pontius Pilate could find nothing wrong with this man. Gives them the opportunity to change their minds. Like, "No, give us Barabbas." Pontius washes his hands of him. They turned him over to lawless people to nail him to a cross and kill him. God raised him up, verse 24, ending the pains of death because it was not possible for him to be held by it. Let's look at Thessalonians 2, 1 through 4. This will help bring some clarification. Is that okay? Concerning lawlessness. We're going to look at 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. "Now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together, being gathered to him, we ask you, brothers, not to be easily upset in mind or troubled either by a spirit or by a message or by a letter as if from us, alleging that the day of the Lord has come." So see, even this early on, people are talking, well, Lord's already come, the day of the Lord's already happened, y'all missed it. Now we've got scoffers. You know, we had all these people that were going around prophesying that September 23rd was going to be the end of the world, it's going to be the rapture. Well, if it wasn't the September 20th, well, it could be the 24th. Stop it. Don't listen to those people. They're false prophets. "Don't let anyone deceive you in any way." Deception. Where does deception come from? It comes from Satan, who is the father of lies. Lies are deception, aren't they? "For that day will not come unless the apostasy comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction. He opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship, so he sits in God's sanctuary, publicizing that he is God himself." Who can come against God as a lawless person? Anyone who is willing to deliberately break, disobey, disregard, and have nothing to do with the law of God. Someone who their sole purpose is to exclude the law of God. Calling what God calls good, evil, and evil, good. We hear that a lot now. They used lawless Roman Gentiles to accomplish what they wanted done. The lawlessness, the man of lawlessness, the man of sin, is somebody who opposes what God says is good and twists it and turns it and says that what God says is evil is good and what God says is good is evil. We are living in such a really big time like that, aren't we? I mean, it just, all of a sudden, it just happened. I mean, it was like, it was one of those suddenlies. You know, we went in 2014 and 15, we started the current Shemitah cycle, which is a seven-year cycle, started in 2014-15. It's in 2014 and 15 that the Islamic State took a big, big hit everywhere they went. I mean, they rose. They're like locusts. See if this doesn't sound familiar to you. They're like locusts that rose up out of the desert and went across the land devouring everything they encountered. They're lawless. Their law opposes the law of God. But they've got some good stuff in there. Some things that are very similar. A person will not believe a lie unless what they're being told has some essence of truth to it. Did God really say that? Are you sure? Because maybe it seems like God just doesn't want you to be like him. They were already like him, weren't they? God said they're like him. They were already like him. All right. Well, we've gone 5 minutes over, and we had a whole bunch of extra time tonight. So we're going to stop there. We are in verse 23 of chapter 2. All right, we'll take off from here next week. Is this good? You like this? Is this okay? All right, praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for every person here. I bless them. I release the anointing of God over them for health and wholeness in every area of their life. We speak shalom, nothing missing, nothing broken, everything in its place, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.